This is the John Gambling Show on News Talk Radio 710 WOR.
Now, with New York's only local news talk morning radio program, here are John Gambling and Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
All right, we continue here on the John Gambling Show. Good morning, everybody. 8 minutes after 8 o'clock. Mayor Bloomberg is at some engagement right at the moment. In fact, Mike's on the telephone with him right now. We will hook ourselves up in just a second here. So bear with me. Do we know what the story is, Mikey? He's going to phone in just a minute. Okay, very good. We continue here on the John Gambling Show, 20 minutes before 9 o'clock, and I have Mayor Michael Bloomberg on the telephone right now. Hello there.
Hi, John. Sorry to be late. I had another meeting, and there was no other ways to schedule it, but I knew you would understand.
I completely understand. Those things happen, and I'm glad to have you right here, at least for a couple of minutes from now till 9 o'clock here. Let's start. We were talking about Christine Quinn's call for kindergartners, everybody mandatory. I believe you've called for that yourself, haven't you?
Well, look, more education for kids is something that we all should be in favor of. The question really is where the money comes from. What she's proposing would cost, I think we estimate, something like $30 million a year, and we'll have to take a look at it. But what is clear is that our kids aren't getting the kind of education they need, or at least as much education as they need. The requirements in the marketplace keep getting tougher every day, and so even if we improve the schools and give the kids more time in the classroom every day, we have to run very hard just to stay even, and even is not enough. You know, a lot of people can't get work. I think the most important things, John, we've got to focus on is the schools that are underperforming, getting them to perform. We've tried for a long time to improve them. Some of them just have to be phased out or closed for a night and reopened with different faculty. This raucous meeting last night about 24 schools. These are sort of all the studies show you close these big schools and you open small ones, they do better. Some of those are in this group. There is 33 schools, a totally separate thing, where the state had originally said 54 schools, if I remember the number, you have to do something with. We phased out 21 of them. The 33 that are left, we think we can save. We're going to use a provision in the union contract that the city has with the UFT that allows us to replace roughly half the teachers. And the state has said that will still let us qualify for state money, $58 million, which we thought we'd lost, or a lot of people thought we'd lost, because we could not come to an agreement with the teachers' union on an evaluation system and a process that would then expeditiously remove teachers from the classroom that were not doing as good a job, and that where we'd given them remedial help, the remedial help wasn't enough to get them productive. And the most important thing here is our students, not the people who work in the system. The school system's just got to be run for the students.
Mr. Anyway. Mayor, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, just go ahead.
I was just going to say, what's your reaction to the president giving 10 states a pass on No Child Left Behind another 28 behind them waiting to get in on it?
If you have states or schools, and some of them are, there are schools certainly in New York City where this is true as well, we're not doing a good job. Taking away the requirement and the incentive to do a good job, I'm not sure why that's a good idea. I haven't talked to the president about it. My gut reaction is that we should keep increasing the standards, raising the standards, not reducing them. If we have incentives that encourage you to make change, taking away the requirements so you just get the incentives without change is not good. Education in this country has always been a local issue, and a lot of states, unfortunately, have standards and aspirations that are just much too low for a global economy. And keep in mind, you can say we don't have any say or we shouldn't have any say in some other state's education system, but everybody votes in the same national elections. Everybody votes for senators and congressmen that influence all of us. Everybody in this country are part of our economy. And so we really do have an interest in the education system, not just in our own location, but locale, but but around the country. And on balance, I don't know enough about what he announced yesterday. I haven't read anything other than the articles in the paper. But my instincts are we should be going in the other direction.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. Now, listen, as of Sunday, church groups and others will not be able to use public schools. Have you heard anything? I know Speaker Silver was trying to do something, as well as Skelos and some others, Marty Golden.
I don't know what's going to happen in Albany. I can just tell you what is happening here. This is the last Sunday that these religious organizations will be able to use to have worship services in the schools. We're not trying to take away their ability to use public properties for other kinds of activities, but where they have services, and a cynic would say, how do you define what a service is? But that notwithstanding, the courts have ruled after a lot of litigation that there are real constitutional concerns here. I have real concerns. You know, you could have the battle of whether you have a creche on the steps of City Hall or a Christmas tree. One we allow, one we do not allow. But regardless, separation of church and state is one of the basics of our country. It's one of the things that keeps everybody having the ability to pray the way they want to pray, or not pray if that's what they choose. And if you care about religion, the closer you get to a state religion, the more worried you would be. And the ways you never get there is you just have this absolute separation that the founding fathers knew was important and put into the Constitution, I think. And so the more religious you are, I think the more you should want to keep the separation, because someday the religion that the state picks as the state religion might not be yours. And so the way to solve that is to not have a state religion.
Was this a political statement more than a problem?
By Albany, yes.
I mean, because I don't
think that's the way you asked the question.
No, that wasn't what I was looking for. No, to be honest with you.
I mean, I think we should keep. You know, the Constitution's a wonderful document, and it gets complicated when you, for example, have freedom of speech, and somebody stands up and says something that we find all despicable. But you either have freedom of speech or you don't, and you have to put up with things you don't like because that things you do like would be taken away from you, and somebody else likes the things that you don't like. And that's really the issue here of not allowing religious practices into the public's property, on the public's property. And that gives everybody the right to pray they want to pray. And you see the president struggling with bill that requires employers to cover contraceptive services in a health care plan. And there are, and it's a legitimate concern, there are organizations that employ people who are opposed, think that contraception is morally wrong, and they don't want to be forced to pay for it. And I think that is a very good issue. I happen to be someone who thinks that contraception should certainly be covered, and how we work that out where you're not asking somebody to do something that they think is against their rules or their beliefs. The way it's been worked out elsewhere is in other things is, for example, a Catholic hospital doesn't have to perform abortions, but in many places they're required to tell you if you wanted one, and they can counsel against it, but if you want one, where you can go to get it. And that was a compromise that seems to me to make some sense. You don't force them to do something that their religion says is wrong. On the other hand, you give everybody the services that a lot of people think they should have access to. Nobody's forcing them to use them, but if they leave it up to them.
A lot of noise this week over the cost overruns and the audit that the Port Authority has done here. I've been talking with both former Governor Patterson as well as the folks over at Patrick Foy, for example, yesterday on the question. And everybody thinks that this will, on the go forward, will cost even more than what we're looking at right now. Would you, and I know you don't know this, but would you guess that before the World Trade Center and the Transportation Hub are finished, who knows when that'll be, there will be increased tolls to pay for an ever-increasing cost?
I have no idea. Keep in mind, the Port Authority's basic funding comes from tolls, so your question really should be, are there other expenses? The Port Authority's got to make decisions. Do they build this or build that? And the state of New Jersey feels that the Port Authority has done more in New York than in New Jersey. New York doesn't think so. New York would argue that the Calatrava path tube, very expensive, very beautiful, but very expensive terminal at the World Trade Center site, is really a project for New Jersey. New Jersey will yell and scream that's not the case. But that's one of the battles that you see taking place. I think actually, given the complexity of the work down there, the Port Authority has done a very good job of building and controlling their costs. And if you take a look, the overrun, I couldn't understand some of the articles in the paper today, but, you know, they're something like $700 million over. They've cut back a number of things. This big story was that there was an expense of $1 billion that they put into attracting and fitting out for clients, and that should have been in the budget, but that should have been in the budget all along. The real world is, nobody knows what costs are for complex things, whether it's building a computer system or building a building or educating kids. And if you say, well, let's take the worst case scenario and assume all of the worst cases so that we never make a mistake on underestimating, nobody'd ever build anything because it would look like it's too complex. It's also true, there's something called mission creep, John. You start to build something, or and as you're doing it, somebody says, you know, for a small amount of money, we could do a lot more and add some functionality, and it would be a sin not to do it. And they're probably right, but it wasn't in the original budget, so...
But, you know, we always take the lowest bid. I mean, well, by doing that, we exacerbate the problem.
Well, but the lowest bid is a separate issue. The lowest bid is bad if it turns out the company can't do the job. But for most contracts, the companies do deliver what they were paid to deliver, what the contract was for the price they contracted. What changes is this mission creep where we keep saying, well, look, if we're going to do it, why not add this one thing the city will get, or the state or the federal government will get enormous advantages, and as long as you're doing it, it's cheaper to do it then. And that's not irrational. That's exactly the way a company would work. You start out with one project, and then it winds up doing a lot more than what you thought, or doing different things than what you thought, because while you're building it, the world changes. And to doggedly stick there and build something that it turns out, because the world changed, you didn't need is stupid. To go and do it and not, if you can easily add some other things, not do it. There's nothing sacrosanct about the original idea, the original commitment. And in fact, it's very naive to say in any big project that it's never going to come in for more. It always does. I don't know how many times you have to watch it to understand. That's just part of the way the world works, and I'm not sure there's anything wrong with it. But in the case of the Port Authority, the big budget issue here is they didn't include $1 billion out of the $1.7 billion they think they're over. The museum and plaza, the memorial, the memorial was delivered on time and basically on budget. And can you imagine the stink if we couldn't have got a memorial done for the 10th anniversary? But so, yeah, sure, the Port Authority focused on getting that done in time. Did that increase their costs? I think you'd be hard-pressed to really show that. You can say it, but I don't know that there's any evidence that that's the case. And now we have to go and build out this museum. And remember, most of the memorial and museum is paid for with private monies. Some of it's the Port Authority. That was the original deal. But we raised, I don't know, 50%, maybe even double the original commitment privately, and we're still raising money. So, you know, yes, we're spending money, but we're spending the private sector's money for something that this country and this city and this region needs.
All right, Mr. Mayor, our time, unfortunately, has run out, but we'll put you on the agenda for next Friday, okay?
I will be there, and I think it's last week we said go Giants, and the Giants went. And delivered.
Looked
and
like you were having some fun there on Tuesday.
It was a lot of fun, and what I said to Manning is, you know, we dusted out the plan to have the ceremony on the steps of City Hall and the parade again. We still have those plans. We could do it again next year.
Good for you. All right, Mr. Mayor, have yourself a good week.
All the best, John.
Be well.
Bye.
Michael Bloomberg here this morning on the John Gambling Show.